So Rabosa, I want to divide up the shiur today into four parts. The first part will take me about 60 seconds, and that's a quick review of what we did yesterday with Rabbi Tzal Zsolti. And then we begin the Ratz Kitzvi, and I want to divide up the Ratz Kitzvi into two parts. One part is to go through the Ratz Kitzvi, run through it, if you pardon the pun. And the other part is the Prima Gadim. He quotes the Prima Gadim, and I want to take that under a separate advisement because I think the Prima Gadim touches on an entire gigantic topic called Shlichus. And maybe we can get into the concept of Shlichus based on this Prima Gadim. And the fourth part is an introduction to tomorrow's Shiur, which would be on Zman HaNikas Ner Chanukah. And I think we all have a copy of the pages. If not, we'll get you a copy of the pages from the Otzer HaYunin. Okay. Just to very quickly review what we did yesterday, we have a general methodological chakira that applies in many sugyas in Shas called Din Kloli or Din Mesuyam, or Din Miyuchad if you want to call it that. And that applies beautifully to the case of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, and Ner Chanukah. And that's what Rabbi Tzal Zsolti wants to understand. His investigation is, how do you define the Hidur of Chanukah? Do we define it in general universal terms and we should apply the rule of Zekei Levian Vehu and any of the regulations of Hidur Mitzvah that apply universally should apply to Ner Chanukah? Or shall we say that Ner Chanukah has a built-in Hidur Mitzvah? It's actually woven into the very fabric of the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's how Chachamim were Masakin, the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, together with not just Ner Yishu Beso, but also Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And we saw at least five nafkaminas, maybe even more than that, as to whether or not the din of Mahadrin in Ner Chanukah is a universal din of Zekei Levian Vehu, or it reflects the unique character and nature of the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Now we go on to the Ratz Kitzvi. Rav Tzvi Reisman from California begins with the Kasha of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham presents a stira, an apparent contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. In general, with regard to a katan, the standard or the status of a katan is that of a mitzvah derabanan. When you deal with chinuch, it's a rabbinic mitzvah that the child should be taught how to do the mitzvahs. Now, if the child is implementing a mitzvah d'oraisa, like let's say, for example, if the child ate what's called a kibetza of pas, and now on a d'oraisa level, had he been a gadol, he'd be chayav in birkas hamazon. So now, since he's a katan, chinuch classifies him as what's called chad derabana. And Tosus claims that if it's chad derabana, which means only one derabana, then he could be motzi a gadol in birkas hamazon if the gadol only ate a kezias, because since he only ate a kezias, the gadol is only chayv midrabana. So even though there's a fundamental difference between the katan in this case, who ate a kebetza of pas, and the gadol who ate a kezias of pas, and so far as the katan is only chayv midin chinuch, and the gadol is chayv midin birkas hamazon, but nevertheless, since they both are on the same level, says Tosfos, they both have chad derabanan, therefore the katan could be motzi the gadol. But if we deal with a mitzvah d'rabbana, not a mitzvah d'oraisa like Birkas HaMazon, if we deal with, for example, Ner Chanukah, or for that matter, Kriyas HaMegillah, which is only d'rabbanan, then in the case of a katan, even if we obligate a midin chinuch in the mitzvah, that becomes trei d'rabbanan. That's a double d'rabbanan. Why? Because if a gadol is fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah or Kriyas HaMegillah, he has chad d'rabbanan. That's one obligation d'rabbanan. In the case of a katan, vis-a-vis Chanukah or Purim, he's got trei d'rabbanan. So he's even a lower notch, and he doesn't share the same level of chinuch as the gadol. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Hilchos Megillah that a katan, even though he's a gil lechinuch, cannot be motzi a gadol in the midst of the Megillah, because the gadol, as far as Megillah is concerned, has chad d'rabbanan, and the katan, as far as the midst of Megillah, even though he's a gil lechinuch, has trei d'rabbanan. He's on a lower level. Here comes the Magen Avraham center stage in Hilchos Chanukah. The same Mechaber paskins, according to one Mandiomar, which he's quoting in the name of the Bala Itur, that a katan shehigia l'chinuch could light ner Chanukah on behalf of the gedolim who are members of that household. In Hilchas Purim, he doesn't even raise such a pasuk. The Shulchan Aruch passed him straight out without any hesitation that a katan could not read the Megillah on behalf of a gedol. In Hilchas Chanukah, in contrast, he opens the possibility and possibly even paskins la'alocha that a katan, since he's in Gil Lechinuch, he can be motzi all the bnei abayis through his hadlokas ner Chanukah. And here the Mechaber seems to be totally oblivious to the principle that he himself establishes, and he reflects that in Hilchas Megillah, that the katan is treider abanan, whereas the gadol is chader abanan. The katan has a lower level of chinuch; he can't be motzi the gadol in Kriyas HaMegillah, because not only is Kriyas HaMegillah the Rabbanon, which would be Chayav Rabbanon, he also is only Chayav and Rabbanon Midin Chinuch. So applying that same yardstick to Chanukah, how is it possible that the Katan could be Motzi the Gadol by lighting the Ner Chanukah? That's the question of the Magen Avraham. And the entire article, Ratz Kitzvi, is an attempt to answer this question of the Magen Avraham and try to, shall we say, reconcile this contradiction between the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Chanukah, who allows for a katan to light the Ner Chanukah fi Sigil Chinuch, and the Mechaber in Hilchas Purim, where he doesn't allow the katan to read the Megillah. So that's going to be, we'll have to again wait till we see the text inside and the entire presentation, but at least you should know that if you had to put the goals, you know, the various goals of this article, what does he want to accomplish in this, what is it, a 15-page article, then the first goal is to answer this question of the Magen Avraham. Now he has what I call secondary goals, a little bit less important, but here he wants to answer a question of the Prima Gadim on the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham insists in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Resh Ayin Tes that on Erev Shabbos you should light Shabbos candles only after you lit Chanukah candles, but if b'di'eved you went ahead and you makabel Shabbos already, let's say for example the minhag is for a woman when she lights Shabbos candles to automatically accept the Shabbos, and this again has great repercussions in halacha in many, many different areas, including, by the way, Hilchos Nida. So now, what happens to this woman who already lit Shabbos candles and she has not yet lit Chanukah candles? Comes along the Magen Avraham and he says that she should instruct someone else who has not yet been makabel Shabbos to light the Chanukah candles on her behalf. Comes along the Prima Gadim, and this you'll see on the top of your second page, and he asks the following question. We have a rule in Shlichus, they call Milsa anything that the Shliach Atzmo lo motzi ofi, that he himself cannot perform that Shlichus, is Shlichuso Shlichu lo eino yochol l'kayimus ha-Shlichus. In other words, Shlichus is in a sense an extension. You know, I'm asking you to do on my behalf what I myself could have done, but if I can't do it, if I'm excluded in this case, for example, as the Prima Gadim applies it, where he's Makabel Shabbos, I'm excluded from the mitzvah of Adlokas Ner Chanukah, how could I possibly allow for a Shliach? Now, as I said at the outset, that part three of today's shiur is the Prima Gadim's answer to his own kasha. So what I want to do now is very quickly and superficially read through the language of the Prima Gadim, as it's quoted here in the Ratz Kitzvi, but I want to leave the Prima Gadim as a section, as a topic unto itself, the Prima Gadim, which we'll get to after we finish this article. The Prima Gadim writes the following. He says that in this case, the bracha can be made, and he goes very far. And he says that we don't need shlichus over here. This you'll see, if you take a look at a paragraph that says, I'll call punim, the second paragraph on your page, about three lines down, he writes, lav shlichus mamishu. Now, again, as I said, I want to take this up under a separate topic in about a half hour from now, Ritz Hashem. What does the Prima Gadim mean by Lav Shlichus Mamish? And this will take us on a tour of Hilchus Shlichus. What is Shlichus? There's something called Shlichus Mamish, and then there's something called Lav Shlichus Mamish. So it falls a little bit short of Shlichus. He does seem to indicate that we are within the parameters of Shlichus, but it's not, you know, the, how should I say, archetypal Shlichus. Then, just to complicate matters, he adds another phrase. And he says, Kevon Shemamono Hu. Okay, so please underline those three words and we'll come back to that. And then, if you want to talk about the Makib Apatashia, the worst, you know, the most confusing, ambiguous phrase of the Prima Gaudin, and by the way, you should know I'm a tremendous fan of the Prima Gaudin, because you can't learn Yerodea without Prima Gaudin. He, Mamish, opens up Yerodea for you. It says the Prima Gaudin, the Acher, and the other person who's lighting the Chanukah candles, in this case on behalf of the woman who was already in the Kabbalah Shabbos, Maisa Kof Ovid. Do you hear those words? It's the act of a monkey. Okay then? So you and I know that the phrase Maisa Kof is a code word, you know, it shouldn't be taken literally. But what it means is that whenever the action is technical, then we don't care who does the action, who performs the action. And therefore, we don't have to go through all the Torah shlichus and say, well, can this person, you know, serve as my shliach? Well, maybe he's lacking in the following conditions that are necessary for shlichus. Here, in this case of Ner Chanukah, it's just a technical act, it's a Maisa Kof. And therefore, even though that person lacks the ability to serve as a shliach because he's doing something on behalf of someone else who that person himself is incapable of doing, those requirements of shlichus are dropped because we're dealing with a maisa kof. Now, to say that, you know, Ner Chanukah is a hadlokas Ner Chanukah is a maisa kof is mamish out of the ballpark. In fact, if you take a look for a second, but please don't lose the place. Fast forward just for a second without losing the place to the next page, and you'll see a paragraph that starts on the right column. See, it should say Kuf Lamed Dalet on your page, and there's a paragraph that starts the Ode. So he says in the middle of that paragraph that if the Prima Gaudin is right and Ner Chanukah is just a hadlok of a Maisa Kof, then he says, Gam Akum Yadlik Avuro. Let a guy light your Ner Chanukah on your behalf. It's only a Maisa Kof. I don't know, honestly, why the Ratz Kitzvi mentions an Akum. I would have mentioned the Kof. Because today you can actually train, you know, not only today, I mean, even thousands of years ago, but today they really became experts in training all sorts of apes and so forth and doing. So I'm just gonna train my pet monkey to light Hanukkah candles. But that's more or less what he says.
Lift on the left from the day before.
So again, if you're asking me, Sam, about the Prima Gaudin,
I'm saying according to Prima, if it's Maisa Kof, but it has to be a Maisa of the Kof, and that's
I don't know exactly what he wants. Again, so that's what I'm begging you. I just wanted to read to you, since we're going Keseder here, I want to speak about Lav Shlichus Mamish. Okay, so what I mean to say is that I think the key of keys to understanding this Prima Gaudin is to interpret his opening line. That Ner Chanukah does not require shlichus mamish. It's a fallback kind of secondary shlichus. And then in the light of understanding that, because shlichus l'chor is either black or white, he's saying no, it has a lot of gray area in the middle, then perhaps we can understand what he means by maisa kof. Okay.
Couldn't one interpret maisa kof as a meaningless thing?
Again, Dr. Joel, I'm just begging you. I always get into this problem. I mention something and then you... So I tell you what, Sam and Joel, you're going to be the first ones when you get to chapter 3 of this year, okay? Okay? Prima Gaudim, chapter 3. Right now, just accept the Prima Gaudim as some sort of a Chinese, you know, it's Chinese terms. You know, he's saying things that don't make any sense. And that's what he points out in the Ratz Kitzvi. So we'll get back to the Prima Gaudim on the separate topic. Is that okay? Just so that we, you know, I'm always worried about fitting in everything into the time that we have. Okay. So now we have the second issue here in the Ratz Kitzvi. a second goal that he wants to achieve? How do we understand sending a shliach to light for you when you yourself cannot light the Ner Chaim? And that's the case where she was Mekabel Shabbos. Now we get to the third goal of the Ratz Kitzvi, and that's to explain a Magen Avram. The Magen Avram quotes the Bach, and this is in Siman Tafresh Ayin Vav. The Bach was wondering about the following. I already lit Hanukkah candles. Can I light for my wife and make a bracha? So the Magen Avraham says, Adam shehidlik, he already lit, yachol lahadlik leisha ulevar. It doesn't have to be his wife. He's allowed to light on behalf of a woman. And now the Magen Avraham adds two comments. One is a qualification, and one is a conceptual definition or observation. The qualification is kigon sha'omedes etzlo b'shas habroch. Now, he doesn't spell out explicitly in this phrase, although he'll clarify right now in the next phrase, whether or not she's making the broch. But one thing is clear. She has to be standing there at the time of the bracha. So it's a very interesting situation. Reuven is lighting Hanukkah candles. He was already Yotzei his mitzvah. He's doing it solely to be Motzi Sarah. And now Sarah is standing there while Reuven is lighting the candles. Who's making the bracha? So take a look at the next line. He says, Avol be'inyan acher, in other words, she's not there, ein levarech. It sounds like, is it like a paradox? On the one end, if she's not around and he's lighting the Hanukkah candles on her behalf, there's no bracha. So obviously, she's the one who has to make the bracha. But the paradox is, because if she is around, it sounds like who's making the bracha? The Madlik is making the bracha. So perhaps he means that if she's around, the bracha somehow relates to her. Let's say she says Amen, you know, or Shomeka Ona. But the bracha clearly has to relate to her. So imagine what's going on. The hadlaka itself is going to be implemented by whom? Yeah. By him. And the bracha is her bracha. And if there's no possibility of relating that bracha to her, drop the bracha. That's the way he restricts it as far as the bracha is concerned. So the Magen Avraham is going to allow this man to light on behalf of the woman, but on condition that she's the mevareches, either physically or she's there listening to the bracha. And now we get to the conceptual breakthrough. Says the Bach, again the Magen Avraham is quoting the Bach, and here he bolds it for you. Kevan sheha mitzvah muteles al guf ha'od. Very strange. On the one end, he should be answering the question why we need her there for the bracha. And on the other hand, he seems to give us an explanation which completely undermines and torpedoes the entire enterprise. There's no reason why someone else should be lighting on her behalf. And the reason for this is the basic principle of the Tosis Rid, which you'll see here on the left column. One of the most famous comments of any Rishon in all of history is the comment of the Tosfos Rid in the Sefer Kiddush. And the Tosfos Rid says that, quote, mitzvah mutelas al guf ha'adam e efshal l'kaim al yidei shliach. There's a contradiction now mineu bei in the Bach, the way he's quoted by the Magen Avraham. On the one end, the Bach defines the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as mutelas al guf ha'adam. On the other hand, the Bach recognizes the possibility, albeit not with regard to the bracha, of someone lighting the Hanukkah candles on behalf of this woman. Not only that, he seems to even agree and approve of the possibility that this person is lighting the Ner Chanukah here and she's there, she's elsewhere, as long as you drop the bracha. So in Hilchos brachas, you know, we can't have any shlichus. We need that she be the mevareches. And therefore, he's going to have to make the bracha in her presence. But as far as the guf ha-mitzvah is concerned, the Magen Avraham does accept the application of shlichus in Ner Chanukah, but he defines the mitzvah in such a way that it's out of the box. It's completely excluded from shlichus, unless he argues against the Tosfos Rid. But again, this Tosfos Rid is so fundamental that it doesn't bear us a good reputation if we want to reject the Tosfos Rid. And therefore, if we accept the Tosfos Rid, which means that a mitzvah mutelas al gufa adam does not lend itself to shlichus, then how is it possible for shlichus to operate with regard to Ner Chanukah? The Magen Avraham is contradicting himself minei ubei. And in order to dramatize this, if you turn to the next page, he asks in the first half of the paragraph, the Ode, on page Kuf Lamed Daled, that according to this, it should come out that, I'm sorry, in the paragraph that starts Ach, I meant, I'm sorry, I apologize. Do you see a paragraph that starts with the word Ach? Yeah. He says, to dramatize his objection to the Magen Avraham in the name of the Bach, he says, according to the Bach's definition of Ner Chanukah, how is Chanukah different than Tefillin? You know, it's impossible to assume that I can appoint you as my shliach for Tefillin. The Tosfos Rid explains, because Tefillin is a mitzvah shebegufo. And if you're defining Chanukah as a mitzvah shebegufo, and that's what it says, if you take it literally in the Bach, then how is it possible to appoint the shliach to implement the mitzvah shebegufo, to the same extent that it's unthinkable that I could ask you to implement the mitzvah shebegufo in the case of tefillin on my behalf? It should be unthinkable to empower you to implement a mitzvah of chanuk on my behalf, because it's a mitzvah shebmutal al gufo shel od. Okay, now the first step, I call it a baby step, in answering all these problems. Again, let's just review the three problems. First of all, the steer in the Shulchan Aruch had a cut in light if he's a Gil L'chinuch against the Mechaber and Megillah. The second, how could somebody lie on my behalf if I was already Mekabel Shabbos? That violates the laws of Shlichus. Skipping over the Prima Gadim, which a Mitzvah will come back to, how could the Magen Avraham in the name of the Bach say on the one hand that it's a Mitzvah Mutelas al Gufa Adam, and yet accept the principle of shlichus with regard to Ner Chanukah? So to make his first baby step, he quotes a sefer called the Yad Yitzchak. Maybe, possibly, you could tell me who the Yad Yitzchak is. If it's from Yitzchak Chanan, I would be very happy. But I have a feeling that this Yad Yitzchak is going to be some name that you and I never heard of. But maybe I'm wrong. So let's see. Now, if the Yitzchak is some obscure Achron, then I'm not going to feel so motivated to try to understand what is absolute gibberish. But if, on the other hand, the Yad Yitzchak is Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who's the Gadol Hador, then I really want to rack my brains to try to figure out what the man is talking about, because what he says sounds like way out. And basically, the Yad Yitzchak wants to say a Tzvei Dinim. There are two categories. And one category we call Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso, and the other category is called Arvus. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. And he says the following. This, if you're following the text inside, we're on page Kuflam and Gimel, a paragraph called Umi Chomer. Now it's interesting that he opens this paragraph, the word Umi Chomer. Whenever you see a paragraph that starts with Umi Chomer Kushizu, what you know is that you're going to get some sort of, I don't want to say gibberish, but you're going to get something that's really, let's push an elephant into the eye of a needle kind of thing. Because what you're saying is, Michomer Kushizu, like, I can't begin to understand what's going on here. The Magen Avraham is recognizing Shlichus as it operates in Chanukah, and on the other hand, he's calling it a Mitzvah Mutelas al Gufa Adam. So he gives the following answer in the name of Shut Yad Yitzchak, which was authored by...
I found a Shut Yad Yitzchak was written by someone named Avram Yitzchak Glick.
Glick, okay. Nishkin Groyser Glick. Look what he writes over here. He says that we're not dealing with shlichus here. Who rak mitam de kaimel and de kol an mitzvahs afal pishi yotza motzi acherim. Okay, this is not shlichus. I could be motzi you for who mitam arvus. Kama shekosav arosh bebrachos kanoda Ve'hocha nami kain. Here too, with regard to Ner Chanukah. Be'emes adin de isha tzricha lamot sham b'shas adloko. K'mosh akosim amagin avram b'shem ha'bach. U'memele ein ze inyan l'shlichas klal.
So watch. What does that mean? She has to stand there. How does that relate to Arvis?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, just one second. Give me a second just to translate. You know, I always like translation first and then analysis later. I know it's for you guys that's very tedious, and you don't work with the same rules and regulations that I work with. My the way I was taught is that 90% of lamdus is first reading the words and figuring out what shteifa, and then we can try to take it apart. So I know it's a little bit imposing on you, but if you'll give me that rope, it will help us get along together. What does he say over here? The Yad Yitzchak of Rabbi Yitzchak, Moreno of Rabbeinu Rabbi Yitzchak Glick. Glick or Glock, what's it?
Glick is a Yidin.
Glick has a Yidin. He says the following, that it's clear that we're not operating Midin Shlichus. The Mogen Avraham in the name of the Bach has rejected Shlichus. How do I prove that to you? He says, I'll prove it to you. Because she's there, she's present at the time of the bracha.
Therefore
what? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Let's read it inside. He says the following. Hadinu be'emes de'aisha tzricha lamad sham b'sha'as hadlaka. Okay, that I saw. But that's halacha in Hilchos brachos. He says, "Memela ain't that inyan l'shlichus klal." Now, again, if you're talking about shlichus, we're talking about the ma'isad locker, and we want to know whether he can implement the ma'isad locker on her behalf. Do we say shlucho shaladim kemoso as if she did the ma'isad locker? The Magen Avraham, the name of the Bach, never rejected that principle and its application here. Shlucho shaladim kemoso. In fact, the Magen Avraham is going to tell us that she could fulfill a mitzvah through this shliach even if she's not standing there. On one condition, make sure to drop the bracha. If you drop the bracha, then fine. How do I see this in the Bach? Let's go back to the Bach, bottom of the right column. He says the following: Adam shehidlik yochel adlik leisha ulevarech. Now he's going to qualify this, but I think he's qualifying that last word ulevarech. Let's see if I'm right. Kigon sheomedes etzlo b'shas habracha. Now, is he telling you that there's no shlichus? Is he telling you that there's no possibility for so-and-so to light up after the woman? No way, no. There's no way she could be mekayim the mitzvah? Well, look at the next line. He says, "Havol b'inyan acher." What does that mean?
She's not
there at the time of the bracha. Ein levarech. It sounds to me that he's talking about the bracha. That in Hilchos brachos, we need her presence. But he doesn't say, "Ube'inyan acher, ein lahadlik." So again, what you're going to have to do, I think, if you want to make any progress in the Yad Yitzchak, is you're going to have to give him a little bit of literary license to be a little bit more liberal about the text. And you're going to have to assume that Be'inyan Acher Ein Levarech means Be'inyan Acher Ein Lahadlik, meaning that there's no mitzvah adlaka, and the whole enterprise of Shlichus is completely out of whack with regard to Ner Chanukah.
Well, why'd you say that?
I'm saying he's trying to prove that there's no shlichus in Ner Chanukah. And he bases it on the fact that the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Bach, says that she has to be there b'shas habracha. He apparently understood that when the Bach said, you know, that she has to be there on the top of the bracha, b'inyan acher ein levarech, it meant that the whole shlichus is completely meaningless if she's not there. Now, in her presence, now we have a new category. And what's this category called? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazet. Where do we find such a thing as Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazet? We find it in Hilchos Brachos. But in Hilchos Brachos, if I'm making a bracha on your behalf, where are you? You're there. So I'm doing the Maisa Bracha, but the mitzvah of the bracha accrues to you only if you're there. And that mechanism works, says the Yad Yitzchak, through Arvus. So Arvus is not like Shlichus. In Shlichus, I can send you from here all the way to the North Pole. But in Arvus, we're here together, and you're making the bracha, I'm going to be yotze that brach midin kol Yisrael arevim zelazeh. Probably even if I don't what? Even if I don't respond to amen, if you follow what I mean. Because there's a din of arvus. And that din of arvus works, says the Yad Yitzchak. That din of arvus works not only with regard to what? Brachos, but even with regard to the mitzvah itself, in this case, the adlok of Ner Chanukah. So it comes out like this, that according to the Yad Yitzchak, when you're lighting on my behalf, that's not shlichus. I'll prove to you that it's not shlichus, because I have to be there. Again, because he understood that I have to be there when you light the candles. So you're not really my shliach, because if you were really my shliach, I could send you halfway across the globe. And why do I have to be there? Says the Yad Yitzchak, there's a new halacha, but it's very restricted. And that halacha is arvus. When can I apply the mechanism of arvus? When does that halacha apply? Only with regard to a mitzvah where we're both there at the same time. So that for whatever reason she can't light the Ner Chanukah, I don't know why, but he's going to light it in her presence on her behalf. But that's not operating midin shlichus, but rather midin arvus. Okay then? So again, as I said, this Yad Yitzchak must have been a great gadol, but I would say Iker Chasam in a Seif. I don't know what he means by this new mechanism of arvus, which works only b'fun of. It's not shlichus, and it's not limited to Ilchus Brachos. I understand that Ilchus Brachos, Bracha is a mitzvah sheba gufo, and if I can't make you a shliach to be mevarech for me, but yet I can be yotze with your bracha if I'm present. And that, he says, based on a Russian brachos, operates me din arvus. Now he's extending the application of the din of arvus to a mitzvah itself, not to bracha, but even to the mitzvah, in this case the mitzvah of Chanukah. But makom shebom and adin, da'ilav and adin, lios kenadon. You're limited and restricted by the source. The source is the din of arvus in brachos. If we're going to extend the din of arvus and brachos to mitzvahs, we're going to likewise have to restrict it to the case of b'fana. And therefore, when the Bach says that be'inyan acher ein levarech, he means be'inyan acher, there's no mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So again, what do we gain by the Yad Yitzchak? I'm not going to tell you what we lose, because we don't know anything about his arvus and how we know that arvus applies to mitzvahs with the condition that he's befano. But what we do gain is that there's no shlichus in Ner Chanukah. And that's a very important point. Now, in order to understand why there's no shlichus in Ner Chanukah, he quotes a Pnei Yoshua. And we're familiar with this Pnei Yoshua. This is on page Kuf Lamed Dalet, and it's the left column, B'Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua says that when the Braisa opens up Tan Rabbana Mitzvos Ner Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeso, the emphasis is on the word Ubeso. And this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, in its very inception, it's very chiyuv. The whole nature and the essence of the chiyuv is fundamentally different than any other mitzvah, with maybe one or two exceptions that we're familiar with. But it doesn't fit into the general pattern of mitzvahs. And he writes his own manishtana. Manishtana mitzvah zu mishar mitzvahs. That's what his question is. So it's good that we have a manishtana even for Chana. And that's the Pnei Yoshua's manishtana. So even if you forget the whole Shia today, you'll remember that the Pnei Yoshua has a Manishtana for Chanukah. And that'll help you remember the Shia, because the Manishtana is, why is Chanukah radically different than every other mitzvah? And hopefully, if you remember that question of the Pnei Yoshua, that Manishtana, you remember the answer of the Pnei Yoshua as well. And he says the following. All other mitzvahs are what's called, quote, a Chovas HaGuf, meaning I, as an individual, my body has to implement the mitzvah, I have to wear the tefillin, etc., etc. However, here in Ner Chanukah, the word is beso, and that changes the whole nature of the mitzvah. Again, he's oblivious at this point to the word ish ubeso, but emphasizing the word ubeso, hakol olech acher achasiva, he says that the mitzvah is on the bias. The bias becomes now the place, the battleground, so to speak, the hunting ground for the mitzvah of pirsum hanes. And therefore, the whole focus of the mitzvah is on the bias. We're shifting the mitzvah from, quote, a chovas haguf over to a chovas bias. This is supposedly going to explain, as we get to it, why there's no shlichus in their Chanukah. But again, keep in mind, as we go through this article, that this is not going to help us for the Bach. Because the Bach says explicitly, HaMitzvah will tell us al gufo shalanon. And we couldn't figure out, according to the Bach, how shlichus could be applicable in a mitzvah who tells the gufo adam, that undermines the Tosfos Rid. But now we're redefining the mitzvah. It's not going to help us for the Bach. But at least if the Pnei Yehoshua is present here in the class, we would ask the Pnei Yehoshua, why is there's no need for shlichus here in their Chanukah? Take the entire enterprise of shlichus and throw it overboard as far as Chanukah is concerned. So the answer is, because ein ha-mitzvah muteles al aguf, but rather the mitzvah is on the bias. The only thing that bothers me, I'll be honest with you about the Pnei Yehoshua, and please make a mental note of this, because this will help us when we get back to the Prima Gadim. He writes ki'ilu. Do you see that word ki'ilu at the end of this paragraph? Hitilu, he's referring to the Chachamim, chovas mitzvah zu. I would have crossed out the next word. He chovas bias. Instead he says ki'ilu he chovas bias. You know, whenever you add a chav, you know, you're always in the Mimonoshach, you know, twilight zone of Ben Hashmashos. Hopefully at the end of the year we'll talk about Ben Hashmashos as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned. But as far as whether it's a Chovas Bayis or a Chovas Aguf, you know, the Pnei Yehoshua didn't go all the way to the finish line. He has a histagud here. He sort of he realizes that he's getting into some, you know, revolutionary area. He's treading on thin water. So he says, Ki'ilu Chovas Bayis. It's not a real Chovas Bayis. So we'll get back to the word Ki'ilu in a minute. But in the meantime, we're going to say that the Rambam, and we've seen this in the past over and over again, seems to accept this conceptual understanding of the mitzvah Ner Chanukah. Because the Rambam writes, mitzvasa shei kol bayis ubayis madlik. The Rambam puts all the emphasis, the obligation is on the bayis. So we're not talking about a chovas haguf, but rather a chovas habayis. And if you take a look at the Sfas Emes goes even a step further in clarifying this concept, and he compares the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah to the mitzvah of Mezuzah. The mitzvah of Mezuzah is your classical, your paradigm example of a Chovas Bayis, right? Because, you know, the whole Chiyuv is to equip the Bayis with a Mezuzah. If I don't have a Bayis, there's no Chiyuv. So too here also, in the case of Ner Chanukah, the chiyuv evolves on the bias. Now, just a footnote on the side, which I mentioned to you in the past, that Rashi, later on in Daf Chav Gimel, gives an example of what's called Birchas HaRoeh in Ner Chanukah. And his example is Holech B'Sfina. And as Rashi's looking for Eitim, so why isn't he making the Bracha LaHadlik? He's only making the Bracha HaRoeh. Shas and Nisan Lab said, we see some Yenim's candle, and Rashi gives the answer. He's a Holech B'Sfina. According to this presentation, based on the Rambam plus the Pnei Yehoshua, we have a wonderful insight into what Rashi means. That a Sfina is not called what?
Bias.
A bias. And if it's not called a bias, then there's no mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which evolves on the bias.
You have a concept of a Chovas Habayis. There's no such thing as
Chovas Habayis. Chovas Habayis means that if I'm walking around and I don't have a bias, I'm not obligated.
I know what it means. Without a bias, there's no mitzvah. Okay, right. That's true, but that doesn't make the Chovas Habayis.
Chovas Habayis means Chova Klape Habayis. The Chova is vis-a-vis the bias. My obligation is to see to it that the bias itself, if I have one, is equipped with a mezuzah. I have an obligation now, according to this definition, to see to it that the bias is equipped with a Ner Chanukah. In Beis HaMikdash, we would say that our obligation is to equip the Beis HaMikdash with a menorah.
Do you have a
and that's why Reb Chaim says, again, I don't want to go off on a tangent, and I know anytime I go off on a tangent, I'm dead meat for the rest of the Shia, but Reb Chaim is machadesh, that if a Zar would light the menorah outside the Heichal, and the Kohen would bring the lit menorah inside the Heichal, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Baloschas HaNeros. Why? Because it's not a Chovas HaGuf. If it was a Chovas HaGuf, you would need a Mais HaDlaka. And then you have to enter into the question of Shlichus. Can I appoint someone as a Shliach? But if it's a Chovas Bias, that the Beis HaMikdash should be equipped with a menorah dluka, then it's irrelevant who does the act of hadlaka. The question is who equips the Beis HaMikdash with the menorah dluka. And in the context of a Chovas Bias, we're going to see that the whole enterprise of Shlichus becomes unnecessary. Because Shlichus is necessary, as we'll soon see, when I need an action. If I need an action, I got to shift that responsibility over to you as my Shliach to implement that action. But if I don't require an action, all I require is to see to it that the Bias is equipped with an Er Chanukah, I can completely circumvent the need for Shlichus. Now, in the next line, which you'll see on page Kuf Lamed Hey, at least in my print, after the letter Hey, it says Bishut Harei Kedem. That's a printing mistake.
Yeah, actually, there's several printing mistakes. The Yadisuk is nowhere near that sentence. It's a different sentence entirely.
Oh. Can you print that out for us?
I can print it out.
The Hemshek. Or is it in that Turkish print that you won't fail to read?
His quote, Rabbi Avram quote, was not Sivkat and Beis, but Sivkat and Dam. They were very close to the box. So they're Mr. Tov Sofer and they're safer.
Yeah. But this is, what I'm about to tell you is not a Tov Sofer, but it's a Tov. Mamash a
Tov. Oh, yeah.
There ain't no such thing as Shun Tari Kedem. It doesn't exist. Just like you claim a Chovas Bias doesn't exist, I claim that there's no such thing as Shut Harei Kedem. It should say B'Sefer Harei Kedem, which was written by my friend Rabbi Michal Shurkin. So you see Shut Harei Kedem, you know, you begin to run to, you know, HebrewBooks.org, you know, or to Bar Ilan, you know, the Shut Project. Where is Shut Harei Kedem?
Yes, the last three.
Okay. Now, if you recall, we spent a lot of time on Simon Kuf Samach Aleph in Harei Kedem. And the piece that he's about to quote verbatim from Harei Kedem is the last piece in this very long presentation. 90% of the presentation here is about Chovas Bias in Ner Chanukah. At the end of this presentation, he has an analysis of the following issue. What happens if you have two people who are living in one house, but they're independent one of the other? What does that mean? Normally, one hadlak on behalf of the bias is sufficient for all the b'nei bias. But that's only if all the b'nei bias belong to one shulchan. In other words, they belong to one financial entity. But it could be that two people are sharing the same house, but they have no financial connection one to the other. It's not what you call samach al shulchan. Samach al shulchan means, let's say, for example, if I have five children, then they all depend upon me. I'm the father of the balabayas, and I have to supply them with this, and so forth and so on. Then I can light on their behalf. However, the case here that's going to be analyzed by Rav Sar Shalom Gon and by the Magid Mishnah is going to be a case where there are two people sharing a house, but they have no interdependence as far as finances is concerned.
But when you say finances in this case, you're talking about their actual finances. You're talking about the notice their shutaf in the bayit, but they're independent in
financially. You have your salary, right. I have my salary, but right. We're sharing a house together. Huh. If we both share the salary, we both have the income, and the income goes into a joint bank account,
right.
Then we're both considered b'nei abayis. But if we happen to be sharing one house, and we are financially independent, you have your bank account, and your income goes there, and mine here, then we don't really have the din of b'nei abayis.
So even though the sharing all the furniture, they have their own separate bedrooms, but they're sharing the rest of the house, including the kitchen, they eat together and everything
else. But they don't share any income. That's the main point. If they don't share any income...
Well, they do, because they're taking care of the buyer.
They're
paying for the cleaning.
They share expenses, but not
expenses.
Right. Yeah, but income they don't share. He has his income. Interesting concept. Again, there's a lot to discuss here, but we're really focused on the following. The Shiboli Alekhet quotes the Magid Mishnah, and he says that in this case, kol echad madlik li atzmo. Since we don't share a financial base in terms of income, then we cannot be considered belonging to one entity, and therefore Reuven, you have your obligation to light the Ner Chanukah, and Shimon has his obligation. You might ask, well, how did each one of them fulfill their obligation? The answer is each one has a shaykhus to the bias, and therefore, insofar as he's occupying the house no less than his friend, he can light in that bias. But each one is individually obligated. That's the Magid Mishnah. Comes along Rav Sar Shalom Gon, and this you'll see on the left column. No. I'm sorry, I skipped the beginning of the paragraph Shiboli Al Leket.
Yeah.
And he says that the Torah brings in the name of Rav Sar Shalom Gon, Anoshim Harbe, Hadorim Bechotzer Achas. Okay, so they all take up their domicile in the same Chotzer. Again, Chotzer is because we'll see that Tosis puts all the emphasis in Ner Chanukah on the Chotzer. I think we discussed this in the past, did we not? No? Like, where should you light? Whether you should light in front of your apartment or in front of the Chotzer? Do you remember that? No, you weren't here. You weren't. That was when you were on a teal.
Oh, that was last week.
I think so. Anyway, what is Rav Sar Shalom Gon Paskin? He says that Yotzim Kulam B'ner Echad. Since they're sharing a house, so in this case a Chotzer, they could all be Yotzim with one Ner. And the Magid Mishnah says, no, Kol Echad Sorech Lahad. Each one has to light his own candle. Now we're up to the left column. And here the Hari Kedem wants to explain the Yisoda Machlokis. V'nirish enechleku begeder mitzvahs ner Chanukah. Again, we're talking about the yisod, the ikar mitzvah of ner ishu besu. Ha'im achiv ner Chanukah chiv derami al gavra. Is it an individual chiv that I'm obligated in? And the din is that you fulfill this mitzvah by lighting the Chanukah candles in your bayis. Shechayovim kol echad mibnei abayis. Hasomchin al shulchan echad shehem ish u beiso lahadlik ner echad kechad gavra. He says the following, that from one perspective we could say the following, that the chiyuv evolves upon every single individual who occupies or lives in that house. However, the bias itself, and here you'll see the bold print, Eino Ella Mokom Hadloka. So this is going to explain the Magid Mishnah as to why each one has to light his own candle. And he says the following, that if each one is financially independent, he's not Somach al Shulchan Echad, then there's no din of Hadlokas B'nei Abayis. Then we go back to the question, well, who's obligated? And at this point, we're holding that according to the Magid Mishnah, each individual has his own personal obligation. He's got a light Ner Chanukah. The bias here is secondary to the Ish. So now we're going against the Pnei Yoshua. Instead of emphasizing the bias, we're emphasizing the Ish. And this is similar to what we saw in the name of the Bach, that the Bach holds that it's a mitzvah of Telos al Gufo Shalonah. So what is the bias? I mean, it says ner ish, each person individually is an ish and he's obligated, but what's the beso? And the answer is that the beso is nothing more than the method of fulfilling the mitzvah. The condition to fulfilling the mitzvah is to light in the bias. You can't just light out in the streets. So you have to light in the bias. So the bias is the makom hadlaka, meaning it's the technicality in the kiyum mitzvah. But as far as the kiyum mitzvah is concerned, kiyum meaning the implementation of the mitzvah. So if I want to achieve the mitzvah, I need the bias. But as far as the kiyum is concerned, the kiyum is irrelevant to the bias. It's a kiyum al gufo shel adam. I'll give you an example. Let's see if this would help. This would help clarify. Let's say I experience some sort of a salvation, a miracle. Correct? And I fit into one of four categories as described by the Gemara Brachos. I got out of jail, or I was in a danger situation in Baruch Hashem, I got out of danger. So I'm chayef to do what? Birchas HaGomel. To bench Gomel, as we call it. That's called a Birchas HaGomel. Now, that's my personal obligation. But yet, I can't just make the bracha. I can't just open up a siddur and read the bracha. What do I need? I need a minyan. I need Asarim Yisrael. The Asarim Yisrael is not a condition in the chiyuv, but rather in the kiyum mitzvah. meaning the chiyuv, the obligation to recite this bracha, evolves on me and my guf as an individual. But the implementation of the mitzvah is conditional on a minyan. And just to give you an idea of Chaim Brisky had a whole chakir about Kriyas HaTorah. Do I have to get off a train, right, on my way to from Bialystok to Brisk in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah, because I won't, by the time I get to Brisk, I won't find a minyan? So it depends. If the idea of a minyan of a tzibur is in the chiyuv, well, I'm alone on the train, I don't have a tzibur, I'm not part of a tzibur, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah. The mitzvah evolves on the tzibur. But if we understand that the individual is obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, just that he needs the tzibur in order to fulfill his obligation, similar to the case of Birchas HaGomel, then get off the train and get yourself a minyan, because by the time you get to the landing point in Brisk, you won't be able to find a minyan. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Again, these are very basic methodological issues. So, what's the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah a mitzvah that evolves on the bias as an entity, which is defined by Samach al Shulchan Echad, that all these people have an absolute financial interdependence, and they are obligated as a group, as an entity, as a community? Or no? The halacha is that bias here is secondary. Each individual has his own independent obligation, but the implementation of that obligation requires a bias. So again, there are two ways of understanding bias. And when it says there, ish u'besa. One is to say ish. Ish means there's an individual obligation. Where do you fulfill that obligation? Besa. In your house. Then bias becomes a t'nai in what? In the kiyum, the implementation of the mitzvah. The other way of learning it, and that was in Pnei Yehoshua, was to shift the emphasis from ish over to bias. And when you have a bias, the bias as a bias will implement this mitzvah. And the obligation is on the bias. Okay, let's see if we can flesh it out in terms of machlokas between the Gaonim and the early Rishonim in terms of our case. So he says the following. If we assume ish, are you with me on that? Ish, that'll be my short form. Then what we have here is ish and ish. We have two individuals, each one that's obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Says the Magid Mishnah, they can both implement and fulfill and obtain the Kiyum HaMitzvah in the same bias, because for each one of them, Reuven and Shimon, it's the same bias. But each one has to light in their Chanukah. We don't have this ability to have one adloka on behalf of the B'nai Bias, because these two individuals are financially independent. They don't become B'nai Bias. They can't form this group. And that's going to be the sheet of the Magid Mishnah. In the last paragraph here, Ulam, he presents a thesis to try to justify Rav Sar Shalom Gaon. And the Gaon holds that the mitzvah is besa. Okay, so let's go through this. He says, Ulam, this is the point that's very difficult to understand. He says, however, the Sar Shalom Gaon understood that the Yisod HaChiyuv D'Ner Chanukah Chiyuv D'Rami Al HaBayis. It's an obligation to see to it that the bias is equipped with an Ner Chanukah. In other words, the Maisa Adloka is secondary according to this definition. The Ish, which would put all the emphasis on the individual's obligation to light the candle, becomes secondary. The lighting of the candle is the lighting of Beisa. The bias has to be equipped with an Ner Chanukah. Listen to his language, and here you might want to underline it. The Chol Bias U'Bias Chayev Adloka Hadin dener ishu beso novea mizeh the ain kaila bias echad. Notice the whole nature of the chiyuv of ner ishu beso is beso, meaning there's one bias. If there's one bias, then that bias has to have ad locus ner. Maybe you remember that the Pnei Yehoshua put the emphasis here on pirsimanes. The pirsimanes is achieved through what vehicle? Through what intermediary? The bias, you remember? The bias. I don't run around the streets and light an Ner Chanukah, again, unless I'm a Lubavitcher. But if I'm not a full-fledged Heisel Lubavitcher, right? So then I light an Ner Chanukah in my bias. And the bias now becomes the vehicle for Hadlakas Ner. it becomes similar to the paradigm of Ner Shem Migdash. That just like in Ner Shem Migdash, we said that the mitzvah is to make sure that the Heichal is equipped with a Ner Dolok, the menorah Deluka. I don't care about the Maisag Lok. It can even be implemented by a Zar, said the Saramim Shita in Tvira Musafin, in Yisurim Mizbeah. So too, Ner Chanukah is also a chiv to see to it that the bias is equipped with an air. How many neros? Again, we're talking about the Iker Mitzvah. Only one ner. Therefore, he says, if Ner Chanukah like mezuzah means you have to have a mezuzah on your bias, and Ner Chanukah means you have to have a Ner Chanukah that's dolok on the bias, is therefore there's no individual chiv in the Maisad Loka. All we need is that the bias be equipped with, in the case of mezuzah, mezuzah, in the case of Ner Chanukah, with a Ner Chanukah. So therefore, when Reuven and Shimon are sharing the same bias, then both have the obligation to see to it that the bias is equipped with what? A Ner Chanukah. How many Neros? One Ner. It doesn't matter who actually does the Maisad Loka, because the Maisad Loka now, in this new definition, becomes only a means to an end. We shift the emphasis to the end goal here, which is to equip the bias with an Ner Chanukah Dolok. If I would have hold, again, let's go back to square one. This is the Magid Mishnah. That the individual is obligated to Ish. Then each, unless there's this new din of Smuchim al Shulchan Echad, has to implement the Maisad Loka. If each one has to implement the Maisad Loka, that's what's going to happen. Reuven is going to have to light his candle, and Shimon has to light his candle. The din of bias is only a Tanai and the Kiyumam. It's an implementation. So each one of the two will light his, respectively, light his candle in the bias, and everything is fine. But from the perspective of the Sar Shalom Gon, how is it that Reuven and Shimon could both fulfill their obligation through one Ner that's lit in the bias and we don't require a separate Adlaka? The answer is that there is no Chovas Guf at a Mais Adlaka that's imposed upon each one. Shift your emphasis from the word Ish over to the word bias, and now the obligation is on the bias and not on the Mais Adlaka. Rabosai, at this point, what are we going to gain from this new definition of the Pnei Yeshua, the Meduik and the Rambam, the Harei Kedem in explaining the Sar Shalom Gon? What can we not now completely circumvent? Shlichus. Shlichus falls down the wayside. Why? Because the whole premise of Shlichus is that I need a Maisa. For example, bless you. In the case of Kiddushin, you need a Maisa Kiddushin. In the case of Gerushin, you need a Maisa Gerushin. In the case of Kinyonim, you need a Maisa Kinyon. Now the Torah says, Shlucho shel Adam Kimoso. You can take that Maisa and shift it over to a Shliach. In the case of a Chovas Bias, I don't need Shlichus. We're going to find something very interesting here on the next page. Yeah, if you take a look for a second and you fast forward to page Kuf Lamed Ches, then you'll have to turn two pages, or maybe in your case, four pages, I don't know. Oh, that'd be a double-sided, right? So, two pages. You see a paragraph that starts with Dummy? Yeah. He says that the bracha on mezuzah is likvah mezuzah. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll, maybe we'll have a chance to get into this today. A bracha with a Lamed is appropriate. I'll give you two choices, see if you can guess it. You have a 50-50 chance of getting this right. A bracha with a lamed is either on a mitzvah sheyesh ba shlichus or a mitzvah she'ein ba shlichus. Anybody know the answer to that question? 50-50 chance. Take a guess. Excellent. Joel, you got it. Lamed means ein ba shlichus, right? So now, the bracha on mezuzah is likba mezuzah. So now the question is, what do you mean? Can't I appoint you as my shliach to light my, to put up my mezuzah? And what's the answer? I don't need you as my shlif. Do you hear what we're saying? And this is going to open up new vistas as far as the Prima Gadam, which is part three of our discussion for today. That why don't I need shlichus? Because it's a chovas bias. If the bias means that my obligation is not in the maisa of putting up the mezuzah, but rather in guaranteeing that my bias is equipped with the mezuzah, then from that perspective, we're shifting all the emphasis from the maisa kviyas mezuzah over to the totza'ah, to the ultimate achievement or goal of having the bias equipped with a mezuzah. If you were to use the al, you would be mistakenly sending out the message that when you ask someone to put up the mezuzah on your behalf, he's operating as your shliach, meaning that you have to do the maisa, like in kedushin and gerushin or in kinyanim, but you're sort of giving over, you know, someone else the agency to do, to implement that maisa. That's called shlichus. That's not the mechanics of a chovas pious. In the case of a chovas pious, we don't start with a chova on the gavra, on the person, to do a maisa, in this case tfiyas mezuzah, and then we end up with shlichus, in which he appoints someone else as an agent to do and implement that maisa. No, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with an entirely different mechanics. The mechanics here is a chovas bias mechanics, meaning make sure that the bias is equipped with a mezuzah. Rabosa, if we take the Rav Sar Sholem Gaon explanation and we add it to the bracha of likva mezuzah with a lamin, what would be the bracha on Ner Chanukah? Lehadlik Ner Chanukah with a lamin. Why? Because the emphasis is on the totzah and not the maisa. If there's no emphasis on the maisa, there's no Torah shlichus. And this, my friends, is going to shed a light on the Prima Gadim. Because what did the Prima Gadim say about Ner Chanukah? Let's go back to page Kuf Lamed Gimel, the paragraph Al Kol Parnin. And he says in let's say line number 3 in the paragraph Al Kol Parnin, he says Yeshlama de Lav Shlichus Mamishu, that this is not the real Makoy Shlichus. It's almost like he's saying this is a fig leaf shlichus. It's a, what should I say, what word could we use? What?
Token.
A token shlichus? No, what I meant to say is like it, externally it looks like shlichus, but it's not really shlichus. You know, what word is
it? Faux shlichus.
False? Like faux.
Faux.
Faux?
F-A-U-X.
Faux. It's F-A-U-X. Yeah. Okay, I don't, I'm not familiar with that word. It wasn't in my cards when I studied for my college boards. Anyway, so it's a fake shlichus, okay? Well, it looks like shlichus, right? I'm asking you to light the candle on my behalf. I'm asking you to put the mezuzah on my behalf. It really looks like shlichus. It smells like shlichus, but it's not shlichus.
Pseudo. A pseudo shlichus.
Excellent. That's the word I need. Pseudo shlichus. Lav shlichus mamish. That's the language of the Prima Gadim, the Halakha of Prima Gadim that I love so much. Lav shlichus mamish. It's pseudo shlichus. It looks like shlichus, but it's not really shlichus. The real shlichus is when there's a chovas gavra, when I have an individual, it's a mitzvah hamutelis alai, and then I appoint you to be my agent. That's called shlucho shel adam kimoso. But if it's a chovas bias, and all I have to do is guarantee the totza'ah, the ultimate outcome, namely that my bias is equipped with an erchanik or equipped with a mezuzah, that's not called Torah shlichus. And the first afkamina that he mentions here in the Ratz Kitzvi is going to be the Nusach HaBracha. The Nusach HaBracha for a classical mitzvah that has shlichus is going to be al. Correct? So for example, I can appoint you as my shliach to check for my chametz. That's called al bir chametz. But if on the other hand, it's going to be a mitzvah she'en bo shlichus, then the bracha is going to be lamed. So for example, we have now two cases of mitzvahs which you can do on my behalf, but not through shlichus. And that's mezuzah and Ner Chanukah. And if it's not through shlichus, then the bracha remains a bracha with a lamed. We're only going to be mafkia the bracha with a lamed because of the shlichus aspect. But here there's no shlichus. And this is going to lead to tremendous discussions about the nuscha bracha for milah. You know, in Shulchan Aruch, it seems that there are two different nuschos for milah. If the father is doing the milah himself, he makes the bracha with a lamed. But if the moel is doing the milah, which is 90% of the 99% of the case, he does it with an al. Very interesting. So there you're assuming that shlichus operates with regard to the mitzvah milah. That's not at all clear, because lechora milah should be a classical case of a mitzvah shebegufa. The Tosfos Rit says there's no shlichus in a mitzvah shebegufa. But anyway, that's for Shira and Mila, for last week. That was Lech Lecha. So now we're up to Vayir. Okay. So now we're both saying, take a look on page Kuf Lamed Vav. And this is beautiful. He quotes a Chacham Tzvi. I'm going to claim the Chacham Tzvi was 3 centuries ago. Somebody said it was 2 centuries ago. I said it was 4 centuries ago. So we'll make a pshara it was 3 centuries ago. Okay. But the Chacham Tzvi is a long time ago. He's the father of Rav Emden the Ivans. So he wants to know, why is it that a katan shigil chinuch could light the candle on behalf of the gdolim in the Bnei Abayis? This was, if you remember, the first order on the agenda of the Ratz Kitzvi when he quoted the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, how can the Shulchan Aruch on the one hand paskin that a katan, even though he's a gil chinuch, cannot read the Megillah on my behalf, and yet, with regard to a katan shigil chinuch in a Chanukah, he quotes the Sefer Itur that the katan could light the Ner Chanukah. And the Chacham Tzvi wants to answer this question. Tshuva, again, this is about 10 lines down from this first paragraph, La'or. He says, what does the Mechaber hold? Svirle, the Mechanica, Kevan, de Lav, Akarkafta, de Gavra, Mutal, Chiv, Adlaka. The Mechaber says, the Chacham Tzvi holds, that there's no Chiv, Akarkafta, de Gavra. It's radically different than Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah, I have a chiyuv to read the Megillah. Ella, but rather, what is Ner Chanukah? Echad mikol b'nei Abayis, one of the b'nei Abayis will represent the Bayis, madlik b'Pesach HaChotzer, v'shuv, once the Pesach HaChotzer is equipped with a Ner Chanukah, ein shum chiyuv al shum echad mi'b'nei Abayis. Unbelievable. The Chacham Tzvi over 3 centuries ago, I hope I'm right historically.
Born 360 years ago.
360 years ago. Hey, that's a lot closer to 4 centuries ago than 2 centuries ago. So I win. See, so I'm a great historian. I don't know, beans about history.
Born in 360.
But I remember that the Chacham Tzvi was published many, many centuries ago. So here he's telling you that there's no chiyuv al echad v'echad. Lava karkafta de gavra mutal chiyuv Chanukah. This radically changes our understanding of Ner Chanukah. If you'd have woke me up in the middle of the night, I would have said, I'm obligated in Ner Chanukah, you're obligated in Ner Chanukah, he's obligated. No. It's lava karkafta de gavra. And all we need to see is that there's a Ner Dolik b'Pesach HaChotzer, and if the Bnei Bayis will guarantee that somebody, whoever it is, and we'll have to ask ourselves whether it's a Shliach or not, and I'm going to insist it's not a Shliach, whoever it is, Bnei Bayis lights the candle, that itself removes the mitzvah or accomplishes the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Just get the candle up there. I don't care about Maisa and Chova and all that stuff. Is Memela a Katan could light the Ner Chanukah? In Purim, in Megillah, where it's a Maisa, it's a Torah's Maisa, a Chovas Maisa Kriya, he, the Katan, with all the respect, he's a trader of money, he doesn't have the status of creating a Kriya HaMegillah. That Maisa Kriya of the Katan, even though he's a Gila Chinuch, doesn't register on behalf of the Gadol, because the Gadol is Chad Rabbanon, and the Katan is Trade Rabbanon. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, despite the fact that the Katan is Trade Rabbanon, since the emphasis here shifts from the Maisa Adlaka over to the Bayis, the Katan is capable of creating a Ner in the Bayis. And therefore, if you take a look at the paragraph on the left side, he quotes the Panovich of Rosh Hashiva, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, who says that the only thing we require in order to guarantee that the bias is equipped with a Ner Chanukah is to create a Ner Chanukah. But in order to create a Ner Chanukah, we need a person who's in the parsha of Ner Chanukah. He's shayach to Ner Chanukah. And that's a katan shehigia l'chinuch. What about a guy? What about a katan who's lo higia l'chinuch? What about a monkey? A monkey can't light an Ner Chanukah. You and I might call it an Ner Chanukah, but the monkey can't call it an Ner Chanukah. He can't generate an Ner Chanukah. And therefore he says, Be'inon she'al zeh shem adlokas Ner Chanukah. Asher kitshanu mitzosim tivana lahadlik. What's your nusuch?
Shell,
right?
Yeah, Ner Shulchan.
If you ever go to Bell's, by the way, highly recommended, because usually on the fourth night of Chanukah, if I'm not mistaken, in Bell's they have a choir. It's mamish, absolutely stunning. They have a whole choir embellishing that lukas Ner Chanukah. So if you listen carefully to the Nusach Hadlaka in Bell's, it's Ner Chanukah, not Ner Shel Chanukah. I think our minig is Ner Shel Chanukah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the nature of the mitzvah? The nature, the essence of the mitzvah is to create a Ner Chanukah. And the Ner Chanukah, once it's placed in the bias, it equips the bias with the Ner Chanukah. But in order to create a Ner Chanukah, you need something other than a monkey. You need a katan, and not just a katan. A katan is also like a monkey until he reaches the age of chinuch. Once he reaches the age of chinuch, and we have now trei derabbanan, one of those two derabbanans is the mitzvah of chinuch. That chad derabbanan is enough to engender and upgrade the status of his adlaka into creating an Ner Chanukah. Is Mimela, that's enough. Yeah, that's obviously irrelevant to Purim. In Purim, in Megillah, there's no such thing as creating a bias and changing the bias. When you're changing the bias, then all you need is someone, even if he's not a Gavra Bar Chiyuva, because the whole of Ner Chanukah is just about a Chiyuv of creating an Ner Chanukah, he can create an Ner Chanukah. He's a Kadosh Shigil Chiyuv. That has no application or relevance to Kriya Samagila. But we're not out in the clear of Osa. Because let's go back to the Prima Gautam. This is part 3 of Ashir Kodim. We're back on page Kuf Lamed Gimel. So the good news, as I told you at the outset, is that the Prima Gautam says, Lav Shlichus Mamash. We don't need Torah's Shlichus over here. Because if we did, we'd be in very deep trouble with the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that if she was already Mekabelas Shabbos, somebody could light on behalf of her Ner Chanukah. That undermines the principles and the rules of Shlichus. Correct? Because you can't do for me what I can't do myself. Says the Prima Gadol, Lav Torah's Shlichus. But then he adds the word mamish. Okay. Question number 2. He adds another condition here. Kevon Shemamonohu. So she was already Mekabel Shabbos. He's going to light her candle. Mamonohu. She has bialus over the Shemen. Then he goes on to say, and this is the killer, and that is the Acher Maisakof of it. Maisakof of it. As we saw on Daf Kuflam and Dalit here, then let's get a guy and let the guy light the Ner Chanukah. The Teretz has to be the Panovich Rosh Hashiva. Namely, you need a Torah's Ner Chanukah. A guy can't create a Ner Chanukah. But wait a minute, the Prima Gadol calls it a Maisakof. If it's a Maisakof, the guy is not worse than a Kof. No comment, but okay. So what's going on over here? So Rabosai, at this point in our discussion, I want to go back to basics. What is Shlichus? And how does Shlichus operate? I want to suggest the following. If you want to discuss Shlichus, then the first thing you have to talk about is what I call a Torah's Mice. What do I mean by a Torah's Mice? There are many actions that a person could implement and are implemented in the universe. That's not called a Torah's Mice. That's a mechanical act. That's a technical act. I'll give you a mashal, a ma'adavra doma. The Torah commands me, if I own a house with a slanted roof, in a mitzvah of makke, comes along the Machna Ephraim, one of the great Sephardic poskim of about, again, my history is a week, but I would say about 2.5 centuries ago, and he wore a turban. The Rav used to say that there were 3 great turban wearers who understood Briska Lumbus. One of them was the Machna Ephraim. The chief rabbi at that time wore a turban, but he didn't fit into this category, but in any event. And one of them was the Machna Ephraim. The other one was a Turkish Rav, and the third one was the Mishlev. Anyway, he had a whole list of Sephardic Rabbanu who actually chapped Briska Lumbus. And many of them came before the Rav Chaim Briska. One of them was the Machna Ephraim. The Machna Ephraim paskins that I could have a guy put up the mark on my behalf. And the ganze Welt schreis gewalt. How could it be? The Torah commands you in a mitzvah vasisa makke b'chagecha, and you're going to send a guy? Where do we find shlichus to a guy? The answer obviously is mathematically, you don't need shlichus. Oh, why don't you need shlichus? Because there's no Torah's mice. The actual construction of the makkah is a technical, mechanical act, has nothing to do with Torah's maaseh. So let the guy put up the makkah.
That it should be there.
Correct. In other words, said beautifully, the whole thrust of makkah is to make sure that my gag is protected and it's not a security issue. I did it. I hired a guy. And the totsah outlicked everything lies in the outcome. In the finale, I have a gag that's surrounded with a makkah. That's all I need. Let the guy put up the makkah. There's no Torah's maaseh. That's point number one. Now we get to Roman numeral number two, Torah's maaseh. Let's say Gittin, Kiddushin, Kinyonim, you need a maaseh Kiddushin, you need a maaseh Gerushin, you need a maaseh Kinyon. So the Torah says, you don't have to implement that maaseh. Not only that, listen carefully, it goes way beyond. Not only do I not have to implement the maaseh, not only can I appoint an agent to implement the maaseh on my behalf, but I can transfer over to the agent all the responsibility, all of the control over the maaseh. He will make the decision. In fact, again, this is a little bit of an issue, but let's accept for now the thrust of the poskim. In the case of a get, the shliach can take his own paper and write the get. In Kiddushin, that would be a problem, because in Kiddushin, you can only be Mekadosh Anisha with your mama. So if he's giving his mama, then you have to go through one of the most complicated sugyos in Shas called Mekudeshes Midin Arev. But without Mekudeshes Midin Arev, transfer of responsibility is the name of the game in Shlichus. When the Shliach does the Maisa Kiddushin, the Maisa Gerish, the Maisa Kinyan, it's his Maisa. He's the Bala Maisa. He's only in charge of operating, of relating the chalos ha-maisa, the kiyum ha-maisa. In other words, the impact of the maisa goes back to the mishaleach. Basically, the mishaleach is out of the picture. It's the shliach who is now, how shall I say, front stage. He's getting all the neon lights. He's getting all the publicity. The shliach becomes the bala maisa. And he creates the chalos on behalf of the Mishalta. So the Gemara in the Sechta Kiddushin at the beginning of the second parak asks, the shlichus minayin, how do you know that the Torah recognizes this very far-reaching principle that I can take my responsibility and transfer it over to a shliach? So the Gemara derives it from Gerushin. Because it says in the parash of Gerushin, not Vishalach, but Vishilcha, the extra hay, tells me that he can appoint a shliach. So the Gemara says, why do I need Gerushin? Why not learn it from Shchitas Korban Pesach? The Torah says that one person shechs the Korban Pesach on behalf of the entire Chabura. So the Gemara says, Shiny Korban Pesach to Kodshim Hu. For those who enjoy Kachim, the Gemara says that Kachim is a world unto itself. You can't derive Shlichus and Kol Tarkula from Shlichus and Kachim. And in Kachim, let's say if I bring a Karban, I'm not going to necessarily do the Shechita. The Kohen does the Shechita. I'm not sure it has to be the Kohen, but certainly that's the first of the four avodas of the Kohen. And he's operating as my Shliach. Says the Gemara, no, that's different. That's Kachim. Rove Maisim al Yidei Shliach. So let's take the case of Shchitas Korban Pesach. We all belong to one Chabura, and Don, you're going to be our Shochet on our behalf. You willing to take that on? Yeah, you might have to brush up on Hilchos Shchita. And Hilchos Shchita means the practical as well, not just the theoretical.
I have to learn to look at blood. I have to learn to like to look at blood.
Right, exactly. I was watching Shechita in a video. They were teaching you how the Kohen did Shechita, and I had to shut it off. I couldn't take it. Because they show you there's this cute little lamb before the Shechita. You know, you fall in love with the lamb. I was threatened. I almost became a vegetarian at that point. But let's say you don't mind the sight of blood, and you're going to do the Shechita, the Korban Pesach, on behalf of the Chabur. So the Gemara says, that's different. That's an entity unto itself. So I want to suggest the following. Lefi Aniyus Daita. And maybe this will shed a light on the Prima God. Once you have a Torah's Maisa, Shechita is not just a technical act, a mechanical act. It's a Maisa Shechita. Then you move on to Shlichus. But what kind of Shlichus? There are two types of Shlichus. One category, which is classical Shlichus of Gittin, Kedushin, and Kinyonim, I transfer the ownership over the Maisa, all the responsibility to the Shliach. He now steps into my shoes. He becomes the Bala Maisa. But now in Kodshim, there's a totally different concept of Shlichus. When we here together agree that Don is going to implement the Maisa Shchita on this Karbon Pesach because we're all Menuyim, we're all Bnei Achabura, no one is transferring any ownership on the Maisa Shchita over to Don, but rather there's what's called Shlichus Shel Tziruf. Tziruf means that we're joined together as one group and we have to find someone to implement the Maisa on our behalf. And now, if I ask you to do the Shechita in Kodshim, and certainly in Korban Pesach, it's not the pshat that you become the Baal. What you're doing is implementing the Shechita. We need a Torah's Maisa Shechita. Every one of the Bnei HaChabura is equally obligated in the Shechita. But one member will be singled out, appointed as the Shliach. Again, it is Shlichus, but it's a whole different type of Shlichus. It's not the Shlichus where the Shliach himself becomes the Bailin, but rather he is kind of like the extended arm, if you will, which is called in the Lashon HaShas Yoda Richta, if you're familiar with that phrase. He becomes like the extended arm of anyone and everyone who appointed him as their Shliach. So the Maisa now is being implemented Al Pi Din through this Torah Shlichus by anyone who appointed him to do the Maisa. So again, there are two ways of understanding Shlichus. One mechanics of Shlichus, which is classical Shlichus, that's derived from the parasha of Gerushin, means that the Maisa is completely transferred from the Shaleach onto the shoulders of the Shliach. The Shliach is going to implement the Maisa Shlichus, and now whatever halachic impact or repercussion that Maisa has, that's going to accrue, that's going to relate back to the Mishaleach. Then there's a different kind of Torah Shlichus, where the Mishaleach, who appointed the Shliach, he's still the Bala Maisa. He remains the one who's implementing the Maisa. But he does it vicariously through the agent. The agent now becomes his extended arm to implement the Shlichus. The Maisa now relates back to the Mishaleach himself. The Gemara says that that could be good in Kodshim with regard to Shchita. But that doesn't cut the mustard to derive classical Shlichus. That's a unique kind of Shlichus where the Torah says that if we have some sort of relationship and Tziruf, your Maisa could be considered my Maisa. Even though you physically were the one who implemented the Maisa, Al Pi Din, it's my Maisa. And this is what I believe might be the breakthrough of the Prima Godin when he says, Lav Torah Shlichus Mamish Hu. What he means to say is that in Ner Chanukah, there's no obligation to do the Maisa Hadlaka as a classical Bailus kind of Maisa Hadlaka. The Halach of Maisa Hadlaka means that we have a Torah's Maisa. It's not a mechanical Maisa. It's not a. It is a Torah's Maisa. But the Torah's Maisa means that if I appoint you as my Shliach, you are not the Bailum now on the Torah's Maisa. You're just the extension of my arm. I'm considered the Bala Maisa. It's like the Shlichus of Karbon Pesach and Shchita, where the Bnei HaChabura, each one is considered the Bala Maisa Shchita, so there's no Torah Shlichus over here. But now, the Prima Godim has to ask the following question. If I ask you to implement the Maisa, and we have this new category of Shlichus, which is derived from Kodshim and from Shchitas HaPesach, Bishleim, in the case of Pesach, I understand the Tziruf. In the case of Kodshim, is Shlucha Derachmona Ninu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Kohen who does the Shechita, he's doing it on behalf of the Bala Karban. And now there's a Tziruf between his Shechita and the Bala Karban. So the Bala Karban could be Miskaper through this mitzvah of Shechita as one of the first of the four Avodos. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, what's the Mitzvah? What links you to me?
bias.
If we're all part of the same bias, as I'm going to get to in the next paragraph, nicha. But let's say we're not all part of the bias. Let's say I ask you to do this maisa on my behalf, and you're a friend, so to speak. You're an alien. You live in a different city. What sets up this kind of tziruf of a co-joiner? Is there such a word? No. How would you say to join something as an active verb, to adjoin? Okay, I'm creating a pig Latin word now just for our purposes, right? What makes you the adjoiner? What is the vehicle
catalyst.
What's it called? I didn't hear you.
Catalyst.
The catalyst, okay. What's the catalyst, right? What is that chemical substance that links you as my appointed shliach to me, so that if I don't transfer ownership over the maisa, nevertheless it's considered my maisa? Who are you to me? Comes along the Prima Gadol with an unbelievable chiddush. You know what the mitzarif is? Mum. The bialis over the shemen. If you're lighting my shemen, then it's as if I lit the shemen. And then he says, "V'eino ela maisa kof bi'alma." What does he mean? It's a maisa kof as far as the shliach is concerned. And that's where he sees the difference between this shlichus and classical shlichus. In classical shlichus, if I transfer over the bialis, over the maisa to you, to the shliach, then you're not doing a maisa kof. For you, you become the bialim now, you step into my shoes, you can pay the money for the get and own the get, and you are the bala maisa. That's not a maisa kof, it's a Torah's maisa. But in this shlichus, as far as the shliach is concerned, it's a maisa kof bialma. That's what the Prima Gadol means. Is Memela Rabosai, now we have to ask the following question. Why is it? How is it that in Ner Chanukah, as opposed to any other mitzvah shebegufo, I can appoint you as my shliach to implement the maisa? Again, it's a new shlichus. Your implementation of the maisa, maybe a maisa kof for you, it's just a technical mechanical act, but for me, it's the maisa mitzvah. How does that work? After all, it should be a mitzvah shebegufo, a maisa adlok. And here's where we enter into the chovas bias. The reason why, and this is the answer to the Pnei Yoshua's Manishtana, that Ner Chanukah lends itself to this new category of shlichus, is because Ner Ish, and where's the emphasis? Ubeso, on the word beso. Since the ultimate goal of this maisa is to see to it that the bias is equipped with a Ner, the Torah allows you a very great flexibility to create the shlichus of tziruf, as we call it, a shlichus in which you are doing the technical action on my behalf, and now it's considered as if I did the maisa. The problem is going to be that we need a mitzarif. And here, there are two possibilities. Either the ownership over the ner, and that's the Prima Gadol's approach, or as Usher indicated before, the fact that you, as I, are a member of this bias. Like we go back to the paradigm of the Chabur in Korban Pesach, you also are Manui on the Korban Pesach. And here, we want to take a look at the language of the Chacham Tzvi. Where was the Chacham Tzvi? I think it was on page Kuf Lamed Vav, am I right? So take a look at the bolded print in the middle of that paragraph, quoting Chacham Tzvi, Kuf Lamed Vav. You see the right column on Kuf Lamed Vav? That's the Chacham Tzvi. So he bolds a few words.
Ella.
Ella echad mikol b'nei abayis mat. The Chacham Tzvi is operating with this new kind of chiyuv mitzvah, which lends itself to a new kind of shlichus, but he adds one condition. When is it okay for him to do the maisa on your behalf? What creates that tziruf? The answer is that you both belong to the same bias. And that's going to be the problem that we face with Rav Sar Shalom Gaon. Because Rav Sar Shalom Gaon, on the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Hei, says that two people share the same bias and they don't share any financial partnership, and yet all they need is one nair. And therefore it seems to me that when we're saying Chovas bias in the context of the Sar Shalom Gon, and we're saying Chovas bias in the context of the Prima Gadim, we're operating with two different concepts. The most extreme concept of Chovas bias is that of the Sar Shalom Gon. For example, he's going to accept the equation between Ner Chanukah and Mezuzah from A to Z, 100%. In Mezuzah, I don't have to do a Mice of Kviyas HaMezuzah. My obligation is simply to guarantee that the Mezuzah is equipped with a Ner, I'm sorry, with a Mezuzah. And apply that to Ner Chanukah. My obligation is simply that what? To see to it that the bias is obligated with it, is equipped with a Ner Chanukah. He's going to therefore say that if two people are not related to each other, but they both could implement the hadlako through one nair in that bias because they share the same bias, that's fine. But from the perspective of the new definition of nair Chanukah as a chovas maisa hadlaka, just that the Torah allows, since the goal of this maisa hadlaka is to get the nair in the bias, the Torah allows for one person who represents you because he's also one of the Bnei Abayis, as we saw in the Chacham Tzvi. From that perspective, I don't know if he can represent you just because you've got to sleep under the same roof. So that becomes the issue that I want to leave with you. Okay, Rabos, it's time for Mincha. I hope you're following me in this. I'm working very hard through this essay, and believe me, we'll finish it tomorrow, and then we'll go on to Bein Hashmach. Can I trouble you if I would give you an email to send me a one-line email about, you know, what your plans are when you're leaving, when you're coming? Can I trouble you that? You don't have my email address.
I don't have your email. I'm not ready to wear it.
Put it down. Here, I'll put it down here. You'll transfer it over. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I'm so glad you told me. This is Z.
Yeah.
And no spaces. Gmail.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. This way I know when you're coming and when you're going. Yeah.